Recap Views. I'm your host, Renee Kranz. On the show today, we will have Father Michael Kapperman in the studio. He's going to be here to talk about vocations. And yes, we've talked about vocations plenty of times before, but there's always something new to talk about. Father Kapperman is the director of vocations for the diocese. So we're going to have him talk about what vocations are, how you discern them, and very importantly, how we as lay people can help us get more vocations in our diocese, which is super important. First, we have Dr. Chris Bergwald here with me to do some biblical bites with Dr. B.
So, speaking of priests, you know, priests are necessary.
They are necessary. And desired.
Definitely desired. We take for granted the fact that we have ready access to the sacraments in our diocese. But there are many parts of the world where people are lucky to get Mass once a month.
Yes, and many times in history when that was the case as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But my point, I think people can, but even today, that's still a reality.
Yeah.
So the necessity of certain things actually is kind of the theme. So, Renee, I think you probably know what today, in light of the interview with Father Kapperman.
Oh, yeah. It's Good Shepherd Sunday.
Good Shepherd Sunday, which is, to be, this is not an official title. It's an unofficial title for the fourth Sunday of Easter, because we often, I think we always have the gospel reading from John about Jesus speaking with him as the Good Shepherd.
Well, and I feel like, you know, it's been a whole 4 weeks after Easter, and by now there's certainly some lost sheep Jesus has to go help find.
It actually hasn't been 4 weeks.
Even I don't care if it's been one day. Jesus is already, he's out. He's like, there's some lost sheep coming. Come on, guys.
We were talking before we started. Not good. You know, I know math is hard for the communications department, yes. But it's been 3 weeks since Easter.
We are not accountants. Weeks. It wouldn't matter. Like I said, it wouldn't matter if it was 3 hours.
Amen.
He's already out trying to find the lost sheep.
Amen. So the necessity of Jesus actually is what I want to focus on. As throughout the Easter season, the first reading is from Acts. Mm-hmm. So the gospel reading is the Good Shepherd. Acts, the reading is from chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. It's Peter talking about to the leaders of the people and the elders about who Jesus is. Right after, there's the powerful, one of my favorite healings in all of the Bible is in Acts, I think chapter 3, where Peter heals the lame man sitting at one of the gates of the temple.
Yeah.
So afterwards, they're brought before the Sanhedrin, and Peter, filled, of course, with the Holy Spirit, speaks boldly. This is the ending. So I think verse 12, "There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." And of course, he's speaking about the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think there's a lot of, so it's just about other religions are good enough, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'll talk about that. But there's another aspect I think that's a bit more relevant to those of us who actually are Christians and are Catholics. There's also no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. And I think for me, what's actually most convicting, so I'll just get this out of the way. This is not saying that you have to be Catholic, even that you have to be Christian to be saved. Salvation is possible for virtually everyone. Mm-hmm. Even atheists, the churches, can be saved. But if they're saved, it's saved because of Jesus Christ and the grace that he won for us in his Paschal mystery, his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension, which, of course, we're celebrating right now.
Right.
So there's that. I think, though, there's a way in which this passage speaks to many of us in a more subtle way.
Okay.
There is no salvation through anyone else, including me. Now, I don't mean that I fancy myself, even though I do, you know, Christ is in my name.
You know.
Christopher. I'm not saying that I'm the means by which Renee Kranz or Casey Bassett might be saved.
Right.
But I often live and act as if I'm the name by which I will be saved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think this is something. So there's an ancient heresy in the church, or the life of the church, called Pelagianism.
Yeah.
What do you know about Pelagianism?
I've heard it.
You've heard it. So Pelagianism is the heresy that basically says that Jesus was a model for us. He showed us how to live according to the way God wants us to live. And now we just need to, in the words of Nike, do it.
Do it.
Just do it. Jesus in Pelagians, Pelagius was the heretic. Pelagius basically, Jesus says, just do it. Just live the way I do. Because when you live this way, then you will be able to enter into heaven. So Pelagius underestimated the power of original sin in us and our need for grace to heal, to sanctify us, to heal us, to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We can't save ourselves. But I think many of us, again, this is kind of what I want to highlight. I think many of us, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously, unconsciously, we lived and we act like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm a good person. So therefore, I'll go to heaven. It's not because of me, it's because of him.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Dr. B.
You bet.
In the studio with me today, I have the fantastic Father Michael Kapperman, who's one of our favorites. Welcome, Father Kapperman.
It's great to be here. Great to be back. I was just reflecting as that intro was playing. I'm like, I enjoy that intro.
It's good, right? The music is lovely. Father Kapperman is our vocations director for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. And we wanted him to come in because we want to talk about vocations in general. And please do not check out yet. I know you've heard us talk about vocations and stuff before, but we're going to talk about it in a little bit of a different way. We're going to do some usual things, but then we're going to talk about how you, the layperson, can actually have maybe a major effect on the vocations in our diocese, we hope. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's start by defining some terms, if we could, because sometimes there's confusion about what we mean by vocation. So, what is a vocation, and what are the different types of vocations? If you will start there, please.
Yeah, so there's, in the realm of vocations, first and foremost, we all have a vocation, namely a calling to be holy. Mm-hmm. That there's this universal vocation, this universal calling to holiness. But then, within that call to holiness on our path to heaven, there's kind of three paths. Sometimes people will divide up into four paths, but really three paths of how we become holy. Mm-hmm. So marriage, the married state, is the first vocation, and most people will enter into that state. There's consecrated life, or sometimes referred to as religious life. That's another type of vocation. And then the final vocation that I think most people are familiar with in their local parish is to holy orders, to priesthood. That when we talk about vocations, we're talking about the call to holiness, and that there's really three main types of vocations, three main paths to holiness.
So we're not talking about what your job is.
Correct. Correct.
I think a lot of times people confuse when we talk about vocations, like, well, my vocation is I'm an architect, as my husband is. It's like, well, that's not really your vocation. Nope. It is your job, it's your career, and it's important, and it's a way you can evangelize, but it's usually not the thing that gets you to heaven.
That's true.
In the married life, there's your husband and wife, you are working to help each other get to heaven.
Yes.
And the others, it's your path to heaven, as you said.
Absolutely. That for me as a priest, I'm a diocesan priest. So my path to heaven is to be a priest in the eastern half of South Dakota, to be obedient to the bishop. My vocation isn't to be, you know, vocation director for the rest of my life.
Right.
My vocation is to be a priest. Mm-hmm. And then within priesthood, then there's different ministries, different roles. It's the same thing with marriage. You're called to be married to this individual, to lay down your life for them. Now, marriages look vastly different. Sometimes, you know, you had two working parents. Sometimes one of them's working. There's a wide variety of examples of how marriage is lived out.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of times around vocations, you'll hear the word discernment. Can you tell us what does discernment mean, and how should someone approach discerning their vocation?
Yeah, so discernment is to be able to listen to the voice of God and to see where he's leading you in your daily life. And discernment comes in a wide variety of ways. Yeah. I think in Father Timothy Gallagher's book, he talks about there's kind of three modes of discernment. So one, imagine you're St. Paul on the road to Damascus and you get knocked off your horse. It becomes very clear what you're supposed to do next.
Yeah.
Now, most of us don't have our Lord appearing to us.
No.
Right? And so then there's two other modes of discernment, two other ways that we listen to where God's leading us. The first way is just through prayer, you will be consistently shown consolation of where you're supposed to go. There would be this overwhelming sense of peace, this joy. You want to give yourself more to the Lord. You have this desire to share the gospel, that there is a consistent theme of joy whenever you think about a particular vocation. The third way is kind of just making a choice.
Right.
That I remind the seminarians and guys, people who are asking me about discernment, I'm like, God loves you so much that he actually transforms your intellect so that you might think like he does, that you might like reason like he does. Now, we're not infallible like
him. Right, right.
But over the course of the Christian life, like one of the things that we talk about is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is counsel. And counsel actually allows me to know where God is leading me.
Right.
It'll actually, you're able to look at the different options in your life and you're like, wow, I think that one I should follow.
Yep.
And it's because God, over the course of time, has transformed your intellect to actually think like him.
Right.
That God wants us to be like him. And so often, like when it comes to discernment, it's really is just making a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's often backed up by experiences in prayer, through the local community, that these are ways that we come to discern, come to know where God is leading us
right.
In our life.
So those are some really good approaches. Okay. What if someone's unsure?
Yeah.
Okay, so like for instance, you just talked about, I might back up here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You just talked about making a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're pretty well-formed in your faith or well-formed in your faith, you are going to be able to make the choice without, so you shouldn't have to, you don't have to wait to be knocked off your horse necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You don't have to even necessarily have that sense of peace.
Mm-hmm.
You can trust if you're well-formed and you have, as you said, the mm-hmm. other things. So, but if someone's unsure still,
yeah,
how do we help them?
Yeah. So often when somebody's unsure and they're not sure what the definition of being unsure is to be not sure. and you don't know where God is calling you next.
Yeah.
There's really what you should do is you should turn to God in prayer.
Yeah.
And then you should also turn to community. So turn to your local priest, turn to a spiritual director. And then for those spiritual directors, those people or friends, mentors, as they have somebody come to them who's unsure, I think there's four things that you should do.
Okay.
First, you should listen.
Yes.
They're going through a lot.
Yeah.
They're having lots of decision, like, is God calling me to be a priest? Is he not? Is God calling me to be a sister? Is he not? And that can be really anxious filled for an individual. And so the first thing somebody should do is just listen. To mm-hmm. ask questions and then to reflect, to actually be able to say, I see this happening. When you talk about priesthood, there's usually the sense of joy.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually the sense of peace. And then you get a little bit nervous about all that might entail.
Yeah.
What do you notice there? And just to be able to reflect back to them of like, this is what you're saying to me and this is what I'm hearing.
Sure.
Because when we hold up a mirror, sometimes people can start to see more clearly.
Yeah.
Like I remember discerning in my own journey, talking to Father Dwayne Kaiser about the priesthood. And there was a couple times where I was worried about, what if I make the wrong decision? And he's like, you're stirring right now. You're just like spinning your wheels. It's like, that doesn't look like that's healthy. I'm like, yeah, he's right. Like just him reflecting, like reflecting back, like, this is what you're doing. It was so helpful for me.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing we should do if somebody comes to us who's unsure is just to affirm them,
yeah.
to affirm their gifts, to let them know that God is going to be walking with them, that God has a plan for them, that even though they're unsure right now, eventually they will become sure.
Yeah.
And just to affirm them, to encourage them. And then finally, we as somebody listening to somebody who's discerning, we should make sure the person knows that they're free to choose.
Yeah.
We don't want to influence anybody's decision. We don't want to secretly hope, like, I hope you become a priest.
Right.
We want them to actually be free to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when somebody comes to us who's unsure about what decision they should make, we should listen to them. We should reflect to just the words that they say and just things that we're noticing.
Mm-hmm.
We should affirm them that God is still walking with them, that God is using their gifts, that God has a plan for them. And then finally, we should make sure that they feel free,
yeah.
that they don't feel pressured either way,
yeah.
That ultimately our desire for them is that they just become a saint that God is calling them to be.
Those are great things. I love that because a lot of times you might go to someone and ask them something and they'll say, well, did you pray about it? And I was like, well, yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. You got anything else? I mean, because mm-hmm. sometimes they have been praying about it, but still it's just not clear because they're spinning,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. So great. Those are awesome things.
Mm-hmm.
If you just joined us, we're talking to Father Michael Kapperman about vocations and discernment. So Father, there's some things that we're doing at the diocesan level. How is the diocese kind of reconsidering looking at vocations, and what are we doing here?
Yeah, so what we're ultimately doing, kind of the new way that we're looking at vocations is, well, I guess we should talk about what the old model
was.
The old model was always this idea of like the vocations director is going to be the one who promotes vocations. Now, I would say that I work hard, but I'm not able to talk to
I'm only one person.
I'm not able to talk to every single man or woman who's between the ages of 12 and 36 in the diocese. I can't be everywhere. And so in the old model, there was this idea of like, let the professionals do it. But what we've seen, what not only our diocese has seen, but throughout the United States, what we've seen is a rise in the number of just shared statistics that point to the fact that actually just people in their life, people who young people trust, they're the ones who do the most to promote vocations. So there was a recent study that talked to the newly ordained candidates. And 90% of those who entered the priesthood were encouraged by somebody else to discern the priesthood. And so just seeing that, just seeing like the numbers are very clear. Like when a young man or young woman is encouraged to think about a vocation, it usually stirs up the vocation within them. That's what we want to do as a diocese. We want to actually empower the local parishioner to ask the question, who in my parish do I think would be a great priest? Do I think would make a great sister? And to encourage our faithful parishioners to go out and encourage the young man or young woman to think about the priesthood, to think about religious life. So there's Barnabas in the scripture, not Barnabas. Well, maybe it's I'm spacing right on live there.
Bartholomew.
One of them was nicknamed the son of encouragement.
Yes, that's right.
And what he did was he would encourage others. And by doing so, he would help them to encounter the gifts that they had, help them to know that they were called by God. And so what we want to do is we want to have our faithful to be able to encourage the young men, the young women in their parish to consider vocations. And so actually, for Good Shepherd Sunday in our diocese is asking the parish priests to preach a homily about vocations. And then to ask the parishioners to write down a name of somebody who they think is called to the priesthood. And just by doing so, just by writing down a name, what happens within the heart of the parishioner is they're able to actually realize, wait, I'm called to promote vocations. And I'm called to encourage others to vote, to promote vocations, to think about the priesthood. And so our role, the new way that we're doing vocations promotion, is actually helping people to encourage others to consider the priesthood, religious life.
Sometimes you might get an argument. When you're encouraging someone, does that take away their freedom to make a decision?
Not at all. So like you think about a young man who's interested in a young lady. His friends would say, go up and ask her for a date, right? Go ask her, see if she wants to go grab coffee. We would never say like, oh, that man's not free anymore. We would say like, actually, no, that's a good friend. And it's the same thing with vocation. Sometimes we think like, well, if we encourage them, then they'll feel like they have to become a priest. And it's like, no, we're not saying you need to become a priest. What we're saying is, have you ever thought about being a priest? Those are two completely different experiences. And what can be beautiful is for a young man who hears a parishioner say, have you ever thought about being a priest? And they ponder it and they pray it. And then they realize, no, I think God is calling me to be married. Just think about how that would transform his marriage in the future. Because he knows God is calling him there. That he knows God is walking with him. God is encouraging him. God is giving him the gifts to be married. That he's not just getting married because that's what everybody else does. But through the process of prayer, he realized, no, God's not calling me to the priesthood. He's calling me to marriage. And he has a whole new identity, a whole new like way of being as he enters into that marriage, because somebody asked him to think about what God is calling him to do.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay. So if you're, let's say, okay, let's, priest gives that homily and he asks for names. What does a good candidate for the vocation of the priesthood look like? Because I think that's really important to know.
So I remember in seminary, we did a peer eval. So we would evaluate the other seminarians. They wanted just to see how seminarians reacted to other seminarians. And I remember there being a question on the peer eval that like changed the way I thought about who should become a priest. Mm-hmm. The question was, would you want them to minister to your family when they're sick?
Oh, wow.
And what it made me realize, like, it's not just about like being a nice guy. It's like when my grandma, when my aunt, when my uncle, when my brother is sick and on their deathbed, would that person be a good priest? Well-formed men. We want good mm-hmm. men to become priests. And so what would be some qualities that we'd want to look for? You don't have to jump all the way to the end that they'll be able to administer the last rites to somebody on their deathbed. But it just helps us to take seriously, what are some good qualities? And so I think just dividing them based upon the four dimensions of priestly formation. Yeah. So human, spiritual, intellectual, and pastoral. Mm-hmm. So what are some human characteristics? Well, when I think about a good priest, when I think about the type of pastor I want, the type of parochial vicar, I want somebody who speaks well. Mm-hmm. I want somebody who's a good communicator, somebody who I can have small talk with, somebody who I can talk with coffee and donuts over, like mm-hmm. just somebody who's enjoyable to be around. I think about somebody who's responsible. Like I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to Sunday Mass and be waiting like, where's Father at? Where's Father?
He has nothing ready.
Yep, and there's nothing ready. Like, it's like, I want somebody who's responsible.
Yeah.
I want somebody who's organized, right? Mm-hmm. I want somebody who can organize their day. Those are very basic human qualities. Right. It's like when you see a young man, whether he's, 15 or 25, mm-hmm. and he has these qualities, those are good qualities for a priest.
Right.
But they're not the only qualities.
No.
the next area is spiritual. Does this man attend Mass on Sundays?
Right.
Does this man pray? Does he seem to have a deep spirituality, a deep connection with God? Mm-hmm. Now, he doesn't have to be a monk, right? But he needs to be somebody like, you know what? Say he's a college student. Like, he came to Mass on his own. Mm-hmm. Like, that's good. Like, that's mm-hmm. a man who's taking ownership of his faith.
Right.
And so when you think about a young man who might be called to the priesthood, you want somebody who prays regularly, mm-hmm. who attends Mass regularly, somebody who seeks out the sacraments. Yeah.
Maybe goes to adoration.
Yeah, maybe something goes like to adoration. That. You might be at adoration on Thursday nights. Say your parish does adoration on Thursday nights. And there's just a young man who's stopping by after basketball practice. Mm-hmm. I think Father Tony, he would describe when he was in high school, he would go to soccer practice. And then on his way home, he'd actually stop by the church and just say a short prayer.
Yeah.
It's like, if you notice a young man doing that in your parish, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's a sign where it's like, I think he might be called to be a priest.
Right.
Or at least I think he should ask that question.
Yeah. Yeah.
The third dimension is intellectual. Mm-hmm. Now, this doesn't mean they have to be bookworms. They don't have to know everything.
Right.
But somebody who is able to understand the faith, somebody who is able to articulate the faith, mm-hmm. That part of the role of the priest is to give homilies. And although a homily is different than an academic dissertation, nevertheless, a priest must know things about Scripture.
Yeah.
And is capable of knowing things and is capable to understand, business finance too.
Mm-hmm.
And so is this young man capable of understanding just what's required of a priest, whether it's spiritual things, whether it's financial things, business things, mm-hmm. That he's able to understand these? And then finally, pastoral, the final dimension of...
This is a big one.
It is a big one. The final dimension of priestly formation is pastoral dimension. And namely, does somebody love with the heart of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about a young man, is he kind? Is he respectful? Is he somebody who like pays attention to you as you're talking to mm-hmm. him? Is he somebody who goes out of his way to say hello? Is he a man with a heart of service? Do you see him maybe volunteering at the food pantry?
Mm-hmm.
That these are all characteristics of a heart of a good shepherd.
Yeah.
Now, ultimately, the end goal would be he'd be the type of man who would be able to minister to my family on their deathbed. But right away, kind of at the beginning, it's like, does he have these characteristics?
Yeah.
Is he humanly formed? Is he intellectually formed? Does he have a spiritual life? And is he somebody who loves with the heart of a shepherd?
Yeah.
And then if he has these things, to encourage him. And they can be 12-year-olds, they can be 18-year-olds, they can be 26-year-olds, they can be 35-year-olds. That you can see all throughout those gambits, young men who live those well and at the age appropriate that they're at.
Yeah, because we do have actually different ways to encourage vocations at proper ages,
mm-hmm. yeah,
which is important.
Yeah, that so. You wouldn't expect a 12-year-old to be acting like a 36-year-old, right?
Right. But so you go to vocations camp and, yeah. you know, things like that.
Yeah, but people already notice when a young 12-year-old is more mature for yeah. his age.
Yeah.
And just he has these characteristics that will make him a good man.
Yeah.
And it's like already at the age of 12, yeah. you can encourage a young man. Have you thought about going to the JP2 vocations camp?
Yes, yes.
And just to encourage them to go check out this camp that's focused on discernment.
Yeah. That 20 minutes went so fast. Before we go, so Good Shepherd Sunday, mm-hmm. you're going to hear about this. Think of some names, but we're doing some other things where that people can actually contribute to suggest young men. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about some of those?
Yeah, so we have one on our website, on the vocations website. We have a Help a Man Discern where you can just submit a name mm-hmm. Of a young man that you
anytime.
Think anytime. It yep. doesn't just have to be Good Shepherd Sunday,
right.
but anytime. If you want, you can send me an email with a young man's name. But then we also have vocations events. So mm-hmm. there's different times where we'll go visit a seminary. There's times where we'll have a vocations camp. So this summer, at the end of July, we have a vocations camp to encourage the young man, like, you should go on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would, one, have fun because you'd get to shoot Father Kaperman with paintball guns.
that sounds great.
But two, like, it could help you to think about this question,
yeah.
that you can encourage them to attend the different vocations camps, the different diocesan events, and even to submit their names online of just like, this man, I think, would be a good priest.
Yeah. Is there anything else that we need from you before we go?
I think just an encouragement to our listeners to ask the question, just very simply, who in my life, who in my parish, do I think has the characteristics of being a good priest?
Yeah.
And then tell somebody.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be the young man, but just to be able to ask the question, who in my life do I think would make a good priest?
Yeah.
And then to tell somebody.
Yeah.
It could be your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the people you have coffee with. Just to tell somebody and say, I've noticed this young man and I think he would be a good priest.
Yeah.
If you did those two things, and if everybody who's listening to it did these two things, mm-hmm. I think it would be a huge step
yeah.
in the realm of vocations.
Yeah, agreed. And then a third thing you might do is then start praying for them.
Yes, absolutely.
Pray for them in their discernment
yeah.
time. So thank you, Father Kaperman, for coming in and talking to us about this. I have a feeling that vocations is going to be something we're going to talk about for a while, and we should, because we want more vocations in our diocese. We want more priests. We want great priests. Not that we have lots of great priests now. We've got more great priests. So thank you so much for everything you do on that front.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
Yeah, you bet. If you want to find out anything about the diocese, you can go to sfcatholic.org anytime. That is it for us today. Hope you'll join us again next week for more Catholic Views.